Good day, everyone, and thank you for tuning into Answers with Dr. J, a business and industry podcast created to give you what you need to succeed, bringing my business classroom directly to you. I've learned a lot over the years, and more importantly, I've won a lot, and I know winning is why you're listening. This podcast is going to teach you to win at every aspect of business. Live your dreams, not someone else's. Lecture 8 began the second lecture in our financial statement series with a discussion on the balance sheet. If you recall its equation from our last lecture, only company assets and equities are reflected on the balance sheet. The balance sheet looks at the values of the company at a snapshot in time or a moment, versus the income statement, which is a running summary of internal accounts for a 3-month, 1-year, or even multiple year period. It's also called a loss statement because you're not always counting income coming in, you're counting what's going out. As I said in Lecture 7, the income statement provides an overview of the company's revenues, its expenses, net income, and earnings per share. It's intended to give its reader a good understanding of the company's operations, the efficiency of its management, and how your company performs within its industry as compared to others you are competing against. The income statement is represented by the simple formula, net income equals revenue minus expenses. For large publicly traded and regulated companies, their income statements are more detailed. They include sections for gains as well as for losses. We'll talk about those in a second. So that equation would be represented by net income equals, in parentheses, total revenue plus gains, minus, in parentheses, total expenses plus losses. It's the same equation, except just a little bit more detailed. I know now you're asking, what's the difference between revenue and gains? Let's start with operating versus non-operating revenue. Operating revenue refers to the revenue, the money that you earn from your bread and butter activities. If you sell widgets, how much money you're making selling widgets. You realize non-operating revenue through secondary or non-core business activities, like the money sitting in your savings account earning interest. You're doing nothing, but it's earning money. The building you work out of has so much space in it, you're able to lease part of it out to other people and make money. That's not part of your core business activity. So those are examples of non-operating revenue that you would distinguish from operating revenue on your income statement. Now on to gains, also called other income. In Lecture 8, I began talking a bit about capital gains and how income derived from capital gains is different from income derived from your bread and butter activities, as represented from your operating revenue. Gains distinguish themselves from non-operating revenue in that you're usually talking about the sale of an asset when we're talking about gains. And that's the sale of a long-term asset like a business, like a building, one of your fleet vehicles, all that extra land you thought that you needed, but you don't need, you just sell it now. Or maybe a $1 billion company wants to buy one of your subsidiaries. That's a gain. Now let's talk about expenses and losses. Expenses fall in categories such as cost of goods sold, selling, general and administrative, depreciation or amortization, and research and development. Not to mention your payroll and wages, commissions, and expenses for things like your rent and utilities. So we just distinguished revenue from gains. Now I'm going to distinguish expenses from losses. So I use the word gain, presuming that you made money when you sold that land, or you made positive profit when you sold your fleet vehicle. That's not always what occurs. Oftentimes, you can sell something at a loss. So instead of representing it as a gain, you represent it as a loss. Now remember, I'm speaking specifically of long-term assets that are usually capital assets, events that occur one time, because you're not in the business of selling fleet vehicles. You're not in the business of just making money on your savings account. Those are one-time transactions that are classified as such. On to the income statement structure. It's structured just as represented in its formula. Net income equals, in parentheses, revenues plus gains, minus, in parentheses, expenses plus losses. The income statement is formatted in just that way. At the very top, revenue, minus cost of goods sold, then minus your expenses. Then at the bottom, I can see any losses. So I mentioned that large publicly traded companies that are regulated by, say, the Securities and Exchange Commission, they must submit very detailed income statements. So I teach my students that there's a single-step income statement as well as a multiple-step income statement used by large corporations. Because large corporations are often involved in mergers, acquisitions, strategic partnerships, and a wide array of enterprises that lend to very complex reporting and understanding to how their business is actually being run. Their accounting entries are very detailed and hard to understand. And for this reason, these large companies have entire accounting teams that are just focused on generating these statements for regulatory purposes to convey the details of their corporation's profitability and all the business activities that they're engaged in. All of the stakeholders need to know exactly what these corporations are doing, including their shareholders. They can assess management's efficiency, determine if the company is on a path to now losing profits, and maybe whether they should jump ship and be disloyal and invest in a different company. Income statements for publicly traded companies are public information. We studied them in school. But income statements for your privately held company would not be public record. However, they do become public record when you want a type of certification such as MWMBE to be a minority contractor. Your income statement is likely going to become public. At that point of seeking governmental opportunities, you now open up your private sector company to public scrutiny. So think about that when you are establishing a company to seek strategic partnerships with the government. Yes, you may be a private company, but your financial information will become public as part of that process. So hopefully the music made this boring lecture on income statements a little bit more interesting. We still have one more lecture to go on the cash flow statement, and I promise you that it will be the least interesting of all of the lectures within this series. In it, there's going to be a lot of things you don't really need to know, because the cash flow statement is really for large companies that have a lot of things going on. Nonetheless, you need to know that this is where you want to be someday. You want your company to grow and to be so great that you have more than just your bread and butter business going on, and that you have investments and the tentacles of your business, and not just your industry, but perhaps others, to show that you are stable and well leveraged. That concludes this lecture 9 on income statements. Stay tuned, as lecture 10 will cover, as I said, the very interesting and exciting topic of cash flow statements. Next, on Answers with Dr. J. Goodbye.